From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Welcome to this week's edition of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. This week, the House of Representatives passed a sweeping election reform bill that, in part, would standardize the vote-by-mail process and to ensure and enhance ballot accessibility. H.R. 1, the so-called For the People Act, includes two amendments sponsored by Representative Brenda Lawrence of Michigan. The first would prevent the United States Postal Service from enacting any new operational changes that slows the delivery of voting materials in the 120-day period prior to an election. And the second Lawrence Amendment would require the Postal Service to appoint election mail coordinators to assist election officials with any voting material questions. The legislation passed by a partisan 220 to 210 vote. Obviously, the legislation faces a strong headwind in the Senate due to the fact that the measure could be subject to a Republican filibuster. Also this week, the Senate began consideration of the COVID-19 relief package, which includes $10 billion in loan forgiveness for the United States Postal Service. Now, let's turn to this week's Naps Chat guest. I'm delighted to welcome Art Sackler, a friend and colleague who has been engaged in postal affairs for about 30 years. Art is currently Executive Director of the Coalition for a 21st Century Postal Service. Art has founded and facilitated such postal-related coalitions as the National Postal Privacy Council, the Mailers Council, and the coalition for which he is presently Executive Director. Over the years, Art has served as Vice President for Law and Policy for Time Warner, General Counsel to the National Newspapers Association, and has also served on the Postmaster General's Mailers Technical Advisory Committee. Welcome to Naps Chat, Art.
Well, thank you, Bob. Delighted to be here. Appreciate your asking me.
Art, as someone steeped in the postal world, one of the questions I like to ask our guests is, what is the earliest recollection of you either receiving or sending mail?
Wow. I would have to say the earliest I remember is getting a package with some Davy Crockett stuff back when that was popular in the late 50s. And I was, you know, a very, very young boy. And that really was the first that I can remember.
And what inspired you to get into in the postal world and deal with postal matters? Because many find it a boutique issue.
It is a boutique issue. And what happened was I managed to obtain the job of being general counsel with the National Newspaper Association, thinking that, gee, that was going to be all press issues and that'd be something that would be terrifically interesting. And I found out that postal issues were their number one priority. And as I started to get into them to help the members of the association, it became fascinating and was pretty sticky. And in the sense of, you know, you want to stay with it and see if there's something that you can do with those issues to help the people who are depending upon you. And in seeing just how valued the Postal Service was and still is, for that matter, around the country, it just, you know, it kind of draws you in.
Could you talk a little about the membership of the Coalition for the 21st Century Postal Service, like who comprises its membership and the association's mission?
Yes, we have a membership that is a broad cross-section of the entire mailing community. It's mailers of nearly every kind. It's shippers of nearly every kind, and it's the supply chain in paper and printing, mail services, technology, and we broadly represent the industry that had sales of about $1.6 trillion in 2019 and employed 7.3 million workers. And what our mission is really is it's a first of all, it's a coalition, not an association, Bob. So we have a single-minded mission, and that is advocating positions, reform, and others that will benefit the postal system and in turn benefit its customers and encourage them to continue doing business with the Postal Service.
Now, your membership is fairly diverse to the coalition. Amazon is a member, as I understand, as well as the envelope manufacturers, the Greeting Cards Association. At times, the priorities of the members of the coalitions may not necessarily be in sync. How do you navigate those distinctions amongst your members?
Well, we do a lot of internal negotiating and get to consensus views that we espouse. If we've got a big difference of opinion within the coalition, we don't address the issue. Any of the members of the coalition are free to do and advocate whatever they wish on the Hill. And on some of these issues where we can't come together, we've had any number of our members go up and lobby individually for whatever is their preferred point of view on that particular issue. So that's how we do it. On most issues, we do come together. But there are always a few where you've got to allow the differences to simply be done individually.
What are the factors that has impacted your members, no doubt, as it impacts the entire country, is the pandemic. So I'd just like to ask you, how has the pandemic generally impacted members of your coalition?
Significantly, on two levels. It's affected all of the companies and the customers and their businesses. One thing I should add about the coalition's background, Bob, is that we have businesses that range from some of the very largest in America, you mentioned Amazon, down to mom and pop businesses in all sorts of places around the country, small newspapers, small businesses, you know, the donut shop, the brake shop, that kind of thing, retailers locally around the country. So we have a big variation in the kinds of mailers and shippers that we have based on size. So you've got a lot of the companies who have been facing severe business threat and sometimes existential threats to their businesses. And so they have, particularly in the small and medium sized ones, have had rather major impacts on business, on employment, on how they approach their customers, how much they can take online as a substitute or in combination with the Postal Service. And then you've got the larger businesses for whom the Postal Service is generally a supplier. And can they, as just a matter of business judgment, substitute another form of communications or commerce that is less expensive and, based on, unfortunately, what's happened over the last few months, more reliable? As you know, service has had a really bumpy ride.
So how has the Postal Service aided your members in reaching their customers during this pandemic?
Well, the Postal Service continued to deliver, and the members of our coalition are all set up to interact with the Postal Service to the extent they can. So to the extent that the Postal Service continued to deliver, and here I want to just tip the hat in a very big way to everybody who works for the Postal Service, the men and women who put their lives on the line every day to make sure that mail and packages get delivered, get processed so that they can be delivered. Those folks deserve a huge amount of thank you for doing a service that the country finds indispensable. So our member continued to rely on the Postal Service to the extent that they could, keeping in mind the fact that some are imperiled, some have been pushed to look for alternatives, but to the extent they can, because the Postal Service has been so trusted, because the Postal Service has such a good brand, and because these companies have decades of experience with the system and have made investments to be able to keep up with changes at the Postal Service and maximize the utility of going by mail, they wanted to stay with the postal system and did. It was a measure of how devastating the pandemic has been that so many behaviors in the industry have had to change.
Let me ask you a question about the trust that the mailing community has in the Postal Service to accomplish its mission. During the February 24th oversight hearing and legislative hearing conducted by the Oversight and Reform Committee, one of the members of your coalition, Quad Graphics, represented by Joel Quadracci, testified. Comment he made, along with a similar comment made by Representative Robert Gibbs of Ohio, gave me serious pause. They suggested a loss of confidence in the Postal Service. Could you reflect on those comments and what it would take to restore confidence in the Postal Service to make Mr. Quadracci and Congressman Gibbs more positively inclined towards the agency?
Well, the way that Joel expressed it, anyway, was that what's happened with service, both because of the fiasco from last summer and what's happened during and since the Christmas peak, that it's, and the word he used, has shaken the confidence of the industry. With a quick recovery on service, in my opinion, the industry would rapidly be back to fully trusting the Postal Service. But if it's not quick, if it takes a long time, that may have indeed some repercussions. I mean, it's not that far to go from shaking the confidence to undermining the confidence, which I don't see as synonyms. I mean, you know, basically what you got is mailers kind of saying, wait, what's happening here? How can this, you know, we can't afford to have this kind of service, and what's causing it and all of that, but providing a lot of leeway for an institution which has been excellent on service over the years. I mean, so there are always hiccups, right? But in general, service has been excellent over the years. And so I don't think we're at a point where the mailing community is ready to totally abandon the Postal Service or not give it another chance, but the problems have to be resolved quickly. Otherwise, you're going to get this shaken confidence really taking hold in a big way that could mean some significant real life actions. That's what we're hearing. And it boils down to this, Bob, between what's happened with performance and the massive rate increases that the Postal Regulatory Commission has authorized, the Postal Service's customers feel as if they're in a squeeze. They're going to have to pay a lot more and get less. And no sane business wants to do that. And, you know, a lot of these judgments are pure business. You can say you have a lot of affection for the Postal Service, for your individual letter carrier, for the institution and its fabled history. But when it comes right down to a cold business judgment, you're going to go with what's best right now for your business.
Art, there is a tremendous reservoir of public goodwill and business goodwill that the Postal Service has earned over the years, as you've just indicated. And The Postal Service has a three-pronged strategy with dealing with the situation it's currently confronted. We've only heard so far about this awaited-for strategic plan, whenever it is released by postal leadership, and then there's this long-term legislative strategy. These are both strategic changes that will take place over the long term. What types of actions would you look for in the short term to restore performance and therefore restore confidence in the Postal Service on the part of your members?
Well, we know the Postal Service is scrambling to try to fix the problems, and I think everybody gives them credit for trying to do that, but they haven't all been fixed at all yet. And a number of customers are concerned that they haven't been. A lot of the problems have been fixed, but hardly all of them, and sometimes new ones are popping up. Now, some of that is the effect of the pandemic. Some of it has been the shift in the mix in the mail, the postal stream, if you will, heavier reliance on packages by the country as a whole. And so we understand that that's some of what's going on here, but fixing all of the problems and restoring service to what it was around the country is key to ensuring and shoring up the confidence of the business community in the Postal Service.
There is a consensus, or is there a consensus amongst your members about what to look for in an anticipated postal relief bill, a postal restoration bill that is being contemplated by Chairwoman Carolyn Maloney and her colleagues on the House Oversight and Reform Committee?
Well, we think that the elements that are in her discussion draft, which are the service measurement and transparency compromise that was bipartisan, that was negotiated 3 years ago, the integration of retirees who are not already in Medicare into Medicare, and the repeal of pre-funding of retiree health benefits, we are big supporters of all three. We think that'll take billions off, many billions off the Postal Service's balance sheet and reduce their expenditures going forward, as well as, of course, dealing with service performance issues in rural America. So that's a good package to start with, but there are other things that are important to try to put into this bill. One is some way to deal with the commission's decision, which is going to decimate so many mailers. And that would be probably the easiest thing to do, would be to ask the commission to do a second rate review that's time limited and requires them to take into effect what happened in 2020 and now in early 2021, as well as to consider the impact of legislation that's already been passed, the CARES Act $10 billion that was transformed into a grant, as well as whatever would be in the Maloney bill and anything else. So, for example, if money is provided in an infrastructure bill to fund the Postal Service fleet, and then calculate what the Postal Service might need. The problem is that with what the commission has done, it only has one arrow in its quiver, and that is rates. So they're trying to enable the Postal Service to improve its cash flow and balance sheets on the backs of mailers who are themselves either in great trouble, as I mentioned before, because of the pandemic, or now have options that they didn't have years ago. And, you know this as well as I do, postage is not a tax. People don't have to pay it. They can find other ways to communicate. The fact is the industry doesn't want to go down that route, but if they are in a bad enough position, and it sure looks like that's coming very soon with these rate increases and the problems in service, they will find other ways to get their message out. And in the case of some small businesses, may have to go out of business altogether.
The Postal Regulatory Commission ruling, which came down late last year, involved, among other things, density pricing on postage. It eliminated the performance measurement, performance-based pricing to some extent, and it sought to use the rate system in some way to take into account the unfunded liability or the requirement to pre-fund. So you're suggesting that if the pre-funding is taken off the table, that issue might be moot in terms of the Postal Service and including it in the rate setting process?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that it would be, Bob, because what the commission has said is for that increment of rates, if the Postal Service doesn't pay the money to the retirement funds, the money that it collects specifically to do that, then it can't again collect it. So if you eliminate the retiree health benefit funding, it's pre-funding and whatever else, you know, repeal the pre-funding, Medicare integration, then there will be nothing to collect for. And that segment of the rate increase will wither away and be gone as a de facto matter, or the commission, I suppose, could say, well, since it's no longer being collected, we're eliminating this. They're also going to look at the improvement of service and efficiency possibility of an add-on in a separate proceeding. They took it out of their of what was originally proposed. And that leaves us with the density add-on. And that one is really the biggest single piece of what is worrying the mailing community. For this year, we're talking about 4.5% just from that. Now, when you've spent 13 years at inflation, and inflation has been at 1.8% more or less the last couple of years, you're looking at from that plus 1 point for collection for the retirement health fund, you're looking at 5.5%, and that's more than triple what inflation has been, on top of the fact that the Postal Service already got an inflation increase this year. And then there are our colleagues who are in the underwater classes, you know, in other words, not covering their costs, mm-hmm. the nonprofits, the magazines, newspapers, catalogers, they get an extra 2 points. So they're looking at quadruple increases. And it's just not going to work. And we have to do something about density as the single biggest piece. And that one, by the way, inevitably goes higher because, as you know, it's a formula of, well, it's increasing stops divided by diminishing number of pieces per stop instead of doing it by revenues, which is a change that we would suggest that they do. Something's got to be done about that, Bob.
Now, the mailing community, members of the mailing community, not in its entirety, the mailing community has gone to federal court to seek a revisiting of this issue by the Postal Regulatory Commission, correct?
We have.
And is there any timeline for that? I mean, because the way that the legislation is going to move down the highway, however quickly that moves, and then you have the court case, which could move equally slow. I mean, do we have any sense of timing?
Yes, now we do. The court earlier this week denied our motion for a stay of the new rates because they're not imminent. In other words, Postal Service hasn't even officially asked for them. But what they did do, signaling their interest in the case, was direct the attorneys to come up with an expedited briefing schedule. They clearly think it's important enough to look at this on a very quick basis. That doesn't guarantee we'll get a very quick decision. I mean, if you remember back with the exigency case. In that case, the court also granted expedited briefing and then took 9 months to make a decision. So we don't get a guarantee that they'll move quickly. But our point, I should mention this, our point in going down both these roads, legislative and judicial, is that, of course, you can't predict the outcome. So there's always some risk, and it's great to be doing two things instead of one. But even if the court rules that what the commission did was not lawful, that they would have to go back and try to do it again, we've got that threat over our shoulders. Conversely, if the court rules that the commission in its processing and decision entirely followed the law, their decision is appropriate, et cetera, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to the mailing community. The oppressive aspects of that rate increase, the outsized rate increase, will remain, regardless of whether the decision complies with the law. So we've got to do something about that in order to keep mail in the system. And by the way, to the extent mail is driven out, that puts more pressure on packages, which means package pricing could go up as a consequence, which would erode the goose that's laying that golden egg for the Postal Service.
Let me ask you a final question as we talk about timing of a court case, of legislation. In your 30 years of experience, and I'm sort of exploring this with you, what do you think the prospects are for postal restoration legislation in 2021?
I think they are better than they've been in years. And that's because of a combination of circumstances. If ever the country needed a graphic reminder of how invaluable the Postal Service is to the health of the nation, it received one in 2020, and a very big one. And similarly, the controversy over the Postal Service about ballot mail, about changes in processing and performance issues and all of the rest, all have brought a huge amount of attention to the Postal Service. And that, I think, has meant that many, many more members are not just aware of the Postal Service's travails, but want to fix some of them. And so that doesn't guarantee we'll get legislation this time, but the stars are really aligning in a much more positive fashion.
I appreciate that those sage comments. I want to thank you, Art, for joining me today on Napstrat. This is Art Sackler, the Executive Director of a 21st Century Postal Service Coalition. Once again, thank you for joining me on this week's Napstrat.
Well, thank you, Bob. I really enjoyed it.
If you enjoy Napstrat, please leave a positive review in the Apple Podcast Store. And more important, tell your friends to download our podcast and listen in. Be well and safe till next week.
I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter and make